I want to welcome all the visitors and those with us today, and so it's good to have you here. And we had a great time yesterday at the youth rally. I count at least 43 that was in our group that went, we had, I'm not sure if it's posted on any social media or not, but Tom Roth, 70 years old, flying on a zip line across the pond, is available. He was trying to find out if he was the oldest guy that had ever done that. Said he found like some 81-year-old guy that did it and a 93-year-old woman that had done it. She said that was the last thing she wanted to check off her bucket list. So she went home and died after that. So I don't know. had a very good time yesterday. Come back tonight before we get into our Hebrews lesson. We had a couple of guys that spoke there yesterday. There was five young men that spoke, and then some girls that did some singing. And so we're still working on Brock for tonight. Yeah, he's not flinching. Anyway, Jackson will bring a little message, and then Destiny's going to sing for us as well tonight. So you get a little glimpse of some of the stuff that took place there yesterday. So it was a great day, we're glad to be able to be there. All right. If you got your Bibles this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. If not, it'll be on the screen. But this is a letter Paul has written to the church at Corinth. And remember, as we look, that 1 Corinthians was a letter to the church that really had a lot of struggles and were hard things that they were dealing with. Coming out of a pagan culture, coming to Christianity, there was a lot of things that they didn't understand, a lot of things that they needed to learn, a lot of things that they needed to change in their lifestyle since they were a Christian, and Paul's trying to help them with that here. And as I continue to read this and in preparation for this, we are no different today. I know that it seems like many times when we get up and speak and share, one of the things that gets hounded on the most as far as at least sins in our life are the sexual sins. But you know what? This is one of those passages that Paul really hounds on that. And I got thinking about that. Why is that? Because it was a problem. And I would be naive if I didn't think that it was a problem amongst the Lord's church today. And I think you are naive if you think it's not a problem. And the Lord, through Paul, discusses and touches in on much of this here. I will say this. In my personal reading and study, I've been using, and I'll reference it here once later today, but I usually use like the NET or the English Revised Version, it's the easy to read version of the Bible, and we'll say this: the King James and the NASB are very delicate with some of their terminologies that they use that we may even get offended by. But at the same time, and we'll say, well, you shouldn't talk about that stuff in church. Paul did. But anyway, I guess what I'm saying is, so when we look at some of these things, there are deeper meanings to this, unfortunately, than we may see on the surface. Things that we think, well, this nation is just digressing so quickly. Hey, in ancient world 2,000 years ago, they had the same problems. I'll just say this. We live in a messed up world. They did too. They needed a Savior, and so do we. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Amen. And so as we look at this morning, we want to try to lay to rest a common thought that is in many, I think even Christians' minds about are what it's like in the eyes of God. So the first thing I share with us this morning is it's not a matter of being good or bad. Now you might say, "What do you mean?" No, it definitely is. No, it's not, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it's not about your goodness. It's about His righteousness. Okay? And so it's not a matter of good or bad. Well, I was good today. Well, I was kind of bad today. Right? I asked Jude Dad on the way home from school some days, "How did it go?" "I got a check mark." "You did?" "Yeah, I squealed real loud in class." And I was like, "Yeah, I know. Don't do that." Right? Or, you know, and so, but is that a matter? Does that change where we stand in the eyes of God? That you had a good day or that you had a bad day? No, it doesn't. And really what it's saying here is, surely you know that people who do wrong will not enjoy God's kingdom. Now, and we'll get into this a little bit, but here's what I want to lay out, is that we need to understand that being a part of God's kingdom is being a part of the church. Being a part of God's kingdom in the future is being in heaven. And without getting too much ahead of myself, but if you're not a part of the earthly kingdom, the church, you will not be a part of the heavenly kingdom in heaven. And so as we look at this, and it's just a reminder to us that we cannot commune with the chaos and the filth of the world and expect to share in the holiness of God. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when we are immersed into Jesus Christ, and we begin our walk in Christ, or our Christian walk. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, and this is in that easy read version that I have, and it to call it a version is not necessary. It's more of a paraphrase, so sometimes we got to be careful with that. It'll group like three verses together and discuss that, so be careful with that. But it is still interesting read, and I really liked what it talked about here when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at our time of immersion into Jesus Christ, how that is. In some translations will say it's a guarantee, or it's a down payment. And this one kind of puts them both together and says, the Spirit is the first payment that guarantees that we will get all that God has for us. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, now I know, and I've run into them, and you do too, that there's a lot of people that act like they have the Holy Spirit in their life. But the only way you receive the Holy Spirit into your life is to be obedient to Jesus Christ in Christian baptism, having your sins washed away, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's not a matter of good or bad, it's a matter of salvation, and it's a matter of Christian living. He who is not a child of God has no right to the family inheritance. You hear that? Don't expect it. not a part of the family of God, then don't expect to receive the rewards. For that inheritance is for the children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So do we think, as Christians, do we think that being brothers and sisters with Jesus gives us the right or gives us a free pass to partake in the sin of the world? It certainly does not. Now, I believe that we're all here, or past the point of thinking as a Christian, that one selfish sin will send us to eternal separation of hell and from our Father. And what I mean by that is, so if you commit a sin today, oops, when you commit a sin today, right? When you commit a sin today, I don't believe that God's up there and erases your name from the book of life and kicks you out of heaven if you would die at that moment. I believe that one selfish sin will not separate us eternally away from Him. I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ properly applied to my life is greater than that. However, what we do need to ask is, so at what point do we become the sins that we commit? If you get drunk one time, does that make you a drunkard? Or at what point do you become that? When we do strive to sin no more, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be. It's not a matter of good or bad. It's a matter of Jesus being our Savior. And that's what Paul is talking to here. He's talking to the church. I'm talking to the church here this morning. With Christ as our Savior, we then live for Him. So what do we have to ask, and what we need to consider are the things that we do, the things that we say, the places we go, the attitudes that we have, the lives that we live, bringing glory and honor to God, are they all for Him? It's not a matter of bad or good. It's a matter of Jesus. Are you living for Jesus? Because he goes on to say, if you're not, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Inheritance, as we said, is for family. To be a part of the body of Christ, to be a part of the family of God, the kingdom of heaven, the church, means that sometime along the way you have decided to make a fully conscious decision to leave the wickedness of this world behind us that tries to ensnare us, that tries to enslave us, that tries to keep us away from pleasing our Father, and we live for that world. The problem is that the world is, and I'm not going to act like it's not, and I don't want you to act like it, is a very captivating place. It's very intriguing for us. And to many, joining the church seems like an exciting thing to do and to be a part of. Well, I'm here to let you know this morning, there's nowhere in the Scripture that says you join the church. You do what the Lord has asked you to do. You are immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you are added to the church. Because what happens when you join something? The excitement eventually fades, right? And we usually find something else to do then. Becoming a Christian is a way of life. When we become a Christian, It must be the only way we live. A change from being of the world to we belong out of this world is what needs to happen. So we ask this question. There'll be three questions, so don't answer the first one just yet. You have to wait and answer them then after. Do we love Jesus? Do we love the world? And can we love both? Jason kind of touched on this in his class on Wednesday night. So do we love Jesus? Now we'll start answering them. Do we love Jesus? Do we love the world? That one's a little, because we know what we really feel, but we know how we ought to feel, right? We know that we need to love Jesus, number one, top priority, nothing else in the way. But let's just admit, and myself included, we have a lot of things that we find quite engaging in this world. So can we love both? Jesus says no man can serve two masters. That's not going to end well. First John 2:15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." Just think of all the things that we fall into that fall into those three categories, which I believe cover every sin that we have that we could commit. Breaks down really into those three categories. But as we look at that, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. I mean, we find it even at the very young age. You hear the pre-K or kindergarten, first, second grader, "I'm better than you." What's that? Boastful pride of life. It really is. So where do they get that? We seek after things that appeal to us. We think we seek after things that look good to us. I want for us to understand that Bible that you hold, whether it's in a page form or a digital form this morning, is the inerrant, infallible, and unchangeable Word of God. And it says not to love the things of the world. So now I ask you, do you love the things of the world? Because now we know that we shouldn't. We must never lose sight of Jesus. Our walk with God, His church, all of these things need to have number one priority in our life. To befriend this world is separation with God. And once again, we see that living our life in and for Christ is what makes the difference. It's not a matter of good or bad. It's a matter of, are we His? It's a matter of, are we living for Him? And the last thing we want to look at here in this text is there is a difference. We want to look at the difference between were and are. Because in verse 11 here, there's a phrase that's given that such were some of you. There's a big difference between saying such are some of you. Do we understand that? And so we're gonna take a peek at that here this morning. Those that are, if you're reading this passage and Paul looks at you and say, and such are some of you from that list, you can't be saved in that state. You have to repent. You have to come to Christ, be obedient to Him. But these people had already done that. They had repented. They had been obedient to Him. They had their sins washed away. Paul says that. He says that they were sanctified. He says that they were justified. We're sanctified in the blood of Jesus Christ, that He made the atonement for sin for us. We are justified as if we never sinned, justified, never done it, in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, which it talks about there. Now, Paul doesn't, but let's just say that, so let's say in this text, Paul would say, such are some of you. Okay? So what he's saying is, and I think this is, we have those in the church that come to Jesus completely and totally and thoroughly to Him. They are immersed for the forgiveness of their sins. They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then they go on living their life as they desire, trying to convince themselves in their mind that I'm okay, because I've done what Jesus asked me to do. But have we applied that? And so that is where we can say we have received salvation. However, what Paul is saying is you have to be a part of the were, that you're not doing that anymore, for you to obtain the second point of salvation. And that is when we leave this earth and we get to enter heaven. Because it does talk about in the Bible that when we do these things, we are saved. Right? I mean, as far as I can tell, in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer was saved. But he went on doing some things that Peter told him he needed to repent of. And I venture to say we're probably all the same way. So what Peter's saying is you may be saved, you may have grasped a hold of salvation, but you're in jeopardy of losing your eternal salvation. I think this is another one of those easy ways for us to teach that you cannot be once saved, always saved. That it is a matter of continually living for Jesus Christ. Then it goes on again. So if we have trouble participating, communing, fellowshipping with the church on earth, we're going to have quite the struggle making it to the eternal kingdom of God. Matter of fact, might not even get there. That's why when people say, you are so narrow-minded, you think only people in the Church of Christ are going to heaven. I raised the play. I said, I'm so narrow-minded, I don't think everybody in the Church of Christ is going to heaven. How dare you say that? I think Scripture tells us over and over again that it's a matter of how you live your life for Jesus. Once you've given that life to Him, now you must live for Him. So there's a difference between the were and the are. Salvation being the day that you were obedient to Christ, as we mentioned, and one cannot enter into heaven if this text, in this text, it may refer to either the kingdom of God in heaven or the church on earth. probably the former, but the sense is essentially the same, whichever is meant. If you have a hard time going along with the laws of the church, what I'm saying is the Christian doctrine, then why do you expect to get to heaven? From one of my more famous, or one of my more favorite movies, quoting a line. And so if it's improper English, it's because it was spoken that way in the movie. But they was witnesses that seen us redeemed. Well, that's not the issue, Delmar. Even if that did put you square with the Lord, the state of Mississippi is a little more hard-nosed. And what I'm saying is, we can do things that squares us with the Lord that we might have to pay for in this life along the way. However, if we don't get it figured out here, get it figured out now, get it straightened out now while the Lord has given us this time to do it, don't think you can wait till the trumpets blow and say, you know what, I know I did this, I know I did that, but I was gonna be redeemed. No, you need to be redeemed. People at times are harder to forgive than the forgiveness that comes from the Lord. And so that's why Paul was saying, such were some of you. It's because, imagine, as this church gathers together, and there are people that have, I mean, that last week, there's a lady there that was working the street corner as a prostitute that's now sitting next to you taking communion. You know what you need to do? Get over it and praise Jesus. Right? And so as we look at that, and this is he's saying, there's a difference between were and are. Such were some of you. Let us be thankful that we are not the are. That you are the thieves. That you are the gossips. That you are the immoral. But as Paul says, and such were some of you, we say praise Jesus to that. Because there's not a one of us here that is perfect or has been perfect. If so, we don't need a Savior. But I'm letting you know that the guy up here needs a Savior, and so do you. And Paul says, and such were some of you, but you were sanctified. The blood of Jesus Christ washed those sins away. You were justified. You don't have to worry about those things now. Unfortunately, the world still may look down upon you, but God the Father says, you are my child. And the world has to deal with the other. But don't let that stop you from being faithful. Words from the sermon that John the Immerser brought, and Jesus Christ brought. These are from John in Matthew 3:2. Whether you want to be a part of the church or you are a part of the church, here's good advice. Repent. Because if you're sitting here this morning and you think you've got it made and you've got it all figured out, I'm just letting you know, then you've got a rotten attitude. That's the boastful, arrogance, pride of life that is sitting in your heart, saying, well, at least I'm not like them. For shame, for shame, for shame. That's Gomer Pyle. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The man who is not fit to enter into the one is not fit to enter into the other. The man who is fit to enter into the kingdom of God on earth shall enter into that one in heaven as well. Thank God for repentance. Amen. Without repentance, we are set on a one-way course away from Christ. Repentance brings us back. It allows us to return. It allows us to once again, as they did in the garden, walk by the side of the Lord. We must repent to come to Christ as a Christian, and we must repent to remain in Christ as a Christian. Such were some of you. I pray we are not those people anymore. I don't mind meeting people and talking to ones that know about you or myself and say, well, you know, the way they used to be, and I can look at them and say, and they're not that way anymore. Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God want for us to drop the world behind us, continue to move forward towards our Lord, and let the glory of God be shown to all people. Or do you not know that those commit all these sins? Do you not know that those that commit just one sin will not inherit the kingdom of God unless we have taken on the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Now, the righteousness of Jesus Christ doesn't make it so that we don't sin. The Holy Spirit helps with us doing better in that. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ covers up our sin, so that when the Lord looks down upon us, He doesn't see what we were. He sees what we are in Jesus Christ. And such were some of you. But now you've been sanctified and you've been justified. Praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to become a Christian, to follow Jesus Christ and His Word, to be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, to come believing that Jesus is the Son of God, come with an attitude of repentance, come with an attitude of confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, being willing to be immersed into Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and do your best to live faithfully. And you know what? We can do our best, and we're still going to fail. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to preach a Calvinism, we're all doomed either. But we do need to remain faithful to the Lord. But as I said, it's His blood that makes it so that our Father sees us as righteous in Him. Encourage you this morning, if you're not, become a part of the family of God. Share in the inheritance of that eternal kingdom of heaven. As we stand, they'll lead us in our song.
Let's sing, "Give Me the Bible."